It's the Healthy Woman Show on WJR with Marie Osborne and Dr. Jonathan Zaden, presented by Women's Excellence. Now here's your host, Marie Osborne.
Happy New Year, Dr. Zaden. Welcome to a brand new year, 2020. Time for New Year's resolutions.
I realized as I was coming down here, this is our 1 year anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
We've been doing this show for a year.
It's hard to believe, right?
It is. It is. And it gives us a lot of thought to just, you know, rejuvenate the program a little bit, get some new topics on board, and really start to talk about how we can affect women's health even better than what we have in 2019.
Well, in the first of the year, we always talk about wellness, and we want to talk about optimal wellness. It's not all about losing weight, is it?
That's all you hear, right?
I mean, yes, I think
I don't want to put any plugs, but I think there's some local fitness clubs that are spending a lot of money advertising right now. But the truth of the matter is it's about taking care of your whole self, right? Both mental, physical, all. It's a holistic approach that you have to take care of your health.
And that's what we're going to talk about today on the Healthy Woman Show here on WJR. Stay with us. And welcome back to the Healthy Woman Show with Dr. Jonathan Zaden alongside from Women's Excellence. Dr. Zaden, when we think of the first of the year, we always think about New Year's resolutions and we always think about weight loss. And it's a big business, isn't it?
Well, I think that, first of all, losing weight is an amazing thing. If you're heavy and you lose weight, it changes a lot of things in your life. So I think that, you know, companies have picked up on the fact that, you know, people really want to do that and that they can capitalize on that. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, just losing weight alone is not what you want to do, right? You want to change your lifestyle and you want to change your habits and you want to overall make yourself more healthy because that's your ultimate goal. It's not just losing weight because we all know there's these fad weight loss programs out there that people are going to buy into and they'll lose 20 pounds, 30 pounds, be very happy for a month or two, but it won't last. And that's the most important thing is being holistic in how we treat ourselves.
You treat women every single day at your practice of Women's Excellence. Why is it that so many women struggle with weight loss and healthy living?
I think it really is a combination between diet, their schedule, and time. I mean, if you look at, you know, the average person, we are inundated with so many more things to do. I've said that so many times over the last year, right? That resonates over and over again, but it's true, right? So we really have to become efficient. It's one of our company goals this year to be efficient in all our processes, but really you have to be efficient in your personal process. And the problem is that we grab food when we can, so we kind of binge eat. Right? We don't eat the right foods because, you know, the foods that we probably should be eating are, in many cases, very expensive. And even if cost isn't an issue, they're more difficult to prepare. And the things that are readily available for us are maybe
are not
the
healthy
things that we need, right? And so that's one thing. So the second part of the thing is that, second part of weight loss in general is stress. You know, we all are running so fast and going in so many different directions. And stress, we know, increases cortisol, and that increases people's weight. So right off the bat, that's one of the problems. And the other problem is that all that stress and the inability to dedicate, you know, any free time outside of taking care of your family and you know, maintaining your relationship doesn't really allow you a lot of time for exercise either. So I think if there's one thing that people struggle with, it's their time. And probably the best thing that we can do for them is kind of give them some direction on how to allocate their time a little bit more efficiently.
So is it, do you find that a lot of women put everyone else first?
Well, I think that's...
Like me as a mother, I know I put other people first. I have to.
Well, we always joke around, right, about, you know, the woman being a control freak. But if you actually think about it, it's what you have to do. It's a method of survival. I mean, you've got a lot of input coming at you as a mom, you know, a lot of input coming at you as someone who, you know, basically runs a household. And not to be stereotypical, certainly in today's day, but
right,
the truth of the matter is that, you know, I think as a whole, not in every case, but as a whole, women have more responsibilities towards maintaining the family and maintaining the household than men do. Men do big projects, just like I do at home. But I don't typically take care of the day-to-day processes.
Scheduling and all that stuff. Yeah.
I mean, teachers have probably a more likely to call mom than to call dad. I mean, when you go to pickups at school, you see more moms than you see dads. That doesn't mean that that isn't changing a little bit. And there's certainly a lot of career women that just can't do that. But overall, I think that that impacts their time. And then they're spending all of their mental energy working on how to make all that stuff happen. So, you know, what I hear all the time is, I'm just juggling so many balls. Well, that's how it works, right? You know, you've got to make sure your kid's in one direction and your husband's in one direction and the house is good and then the Comcast is still working and they got their school form filled out for soccer and baseball and lacrosse and football and every other thing that they're doing. Many kids are playing a couple of different sports and it's not easy. You just don't send them to the park anymore. Right. Now it's, you know, there's liability waivers, all those things. And how does that impact any person? It impacts you by you put yourself last.
Absolutely. So what other ways do you promote wellness at Women's Excellence? There has to be more than just, and it can't just be diet and exercise. What other ways are there?
Well, I think the diet and exercise component that we talk about is so important, but it is not the whole thing. You will eat a healthier diet and exercise more if you feel like you have the time to do so and you're set up for success. We talk about this all the time in our company. I talk about this with my children. We have to make sure that we're set up for success. If we're not set up for success, we're not going to eat the right diet. We're not going to get the right food. We're not going to give ourselves time to prepare it, and we're not going to, you know, get all the other things done to make us stress-free that are going to allow us to say, hey, I can dedicate an hour to exercise. It's interesting to me how many little physical fitness things are popping up all over the place. And I often wonder, how can these all exist? And I suspect that it's a lot from the subscription model. People are very excited about doing it. They start it. It's not a high cost to them. They maybe start doing it a lot every, you know, for 3 months. And then after that, they kind of stop. But the subscription keeps going. So the gyms are never overly crowded, even though they have many, many people subscribing. And the problem with that type of activity is that's binge activity. You have to set aside a certain amount of time to do the exercise that you need. And that time could be decreased if you weren't driving to it. There's things that you can do at home. That's why I think Peloton is getting so
popular,
right? It's not, I'm certainly not plugging any. There are a lot of different exercise modalities, but I think that the one that everybody that's listening, you know, thinks about is Peloton because, you know, they've identified that, you know, hey, if you're spending 45 minutes or an hour of your day going back and forth to the place that you're going to do the exercise, let's make it seem better, more fun, more interactive, but do it where you don't have to do that travel because we don't have the time.
Right. Annual exams, I know, are very important for your at Women's Excellence, the routine screenings, the preventative care, all those things to maintain the healthy lifestyle that then will enable you to maybe go down the road of weight loss and a healthier life in general.
Well, if you think about it, setting time even for prevention, right? One of the things that I've learned, over the past 20 years is probably the most important thing and the most boring thing and the most unsatisfying thing to do is preventative maintenance. Like, who wants to call somebody out to, you know, work on their furnace when their furnace is working? Right?
Absolutely.
It's costly.
Absolutely.
Right? And you have to come out there and have somebody come and do it, and you got to set aside time to make sure you're there when they do it, all those things. But when your furnace goes down, a lot of times they say, well, if you would have done this and this and this, it wouldn't have happened. And you have to do preventative maintenance on yourself.
When we come back here on Healthy Woman on WJR, we're going to have a returning guest, Dr. Zaden, someone you know well, Susanna Marcou, will join us. She's part of your practice, and her passion behind promoting a healthy lifestyle is so evident. She joins us next. Stay with us. Dr. Zaden, our next guest is Susanna Marcou, nurse practitioner specializing in women's health. She is one of your peeps that you rely on so much, I know, in your practice. Welcome, Susanna, to the Healthy Woman Show.
Hi. Hello again. It's a pleasure to be back.
Well, I tell you, we talked a lot about, you know, just how somebody needs to be more efficient with their time in order to get exercise and diet into their schedule. And we also talk that, you know, your New Year's resolution can't be only just about weight loss, but it has to be about wellness, basically, right? It has to be about changing your lifestyle. And, you know, you do that with patients every day. I mean, I think that the listeners would love to hear, you know, how do you intervene with patients, not only for their New Year's resolutions, just because this is a January show, but more so, you know, just for their overall lifestyle all year round?
Yeah. So, interesting topic, wellness. You know, we hear this word all the time, but in the medical profession, what does that really mean? Some time ago, I had heard this quote, absence of disease does not always equal wellness. So, as a provider, yes, we have to promote preventative care. We need to see them for their annuals, make sure that we are preventing disease, getting a pap smear done, a mammogram done, a bone mineral density, all these things that can be done at Women's Excellence is paramount. But at these annual exams, we really get a chance to talk to patients to see, okay, how is your weight trending? Are you going up 5-10 pounds every year? Is this an issue? Is it a quality of life issue? And if it is, then we need to discuss it.
I love, you know, your quote. I love the quote. I'm sitting here contemplating it, and I'm like, how come I haven't coined that quote? I mean, absence of disease does not equal wellness, essentially, was a paraphrase of it. And it's so true, right? I mean, you know, just because you don't have something wrong with you doesn't necessarily mean that you're living a good quality, like you said, lifestyle, right? I mean, a lot of it is your outward attitude, your, you know, your confidence level. All of those things are part of wellness, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so when you're, you know, when I do an annual exam, I think I touch base on all those things, because just the interpersonal, you know, activity that we do where we talk back and forth and people, you know, develop a certain level of trust and they have a tendency to talk to you about it. But you do it more specially. You actually, many of these patients are coming to you because they want to improve their wellness. How do you go about that visit?
So about that witness, it really is identifying the patient needs. So a lot of my visits, I like to be 20 minutes at least. I want to get to know the patient and what their concern is. A patient might come in and say that weight is their concern. I am a board certified menopause provider. So a patient might come in and say, hey, I'm having hot sweats, night sweats. It's really interfering with my sleep pattern. Then we have to address that. Some women are now bringing up the aesthetic portion, that they may want to enhance certain things, facial features, and we're starting to address that. So really, it's really when you consult with your patient, talk to your patient, identify their needs, we can make short-term goals that lead to long-term results.
I think it is so important to be comprehensive, right? I mean, that's how we set up Women's Excellence, right? So, and I had always thought of that because, you know, I would see people, you know, who I trained with, physicians that would do a hysterectomy on somebody, but they were having bladder control problems, but they didn't address the bladder control problems when they did the hysterectomy. And so, you know, the patient no longer was wearing undergarments for their menstrual cycle, but they still had to wear undergarments because they were still leaking urine and it could have been done all at one time. I said, this has to be done in a more comprehensive way. But I have to tell you, you know, over the past, you know, 10 years, I would say, I've really started to look at comprehensive as the whole person. It's not just about their disease. And that's why I think I really had to contemplate your first quote, in that it's not just about what, you know, their incontinence or their bleeding, but it's just about how they feel about themselves. And I think that you're touching base on a lot of those things where you say, you know, maybe their facial features, or, you know, their weight or their skin or all of those things. And I know that we've, you know, even, you know, started to develop programs to help those facets too. Do you start just talking about their general health and then identify these things? How do you go through that with a patient?
So when I see a patient, a lot of the times they're coming in maybe just for, like I said, their annual, right? So when they come to their GYN, sometimes from previous experiences from previous offices, they just think they're coming for a pap. That's not how I do the visit. It really comes down to that consultation, identifying the needs of the patient, and then really focusing on quality of life. Because there are treatment plans for every disease out there. But it's really identifying the impact on that quality of life and how to make that patient happier. When my patient leaves my room in my office through Women's Excellence, I want that patient to feel like every concern has been addressed, or at least the top three, and they know when they're going to come back because their provider didn't forget about them. That boosts their confidence in the practice, and that also then boosts confidence in themselves that they're going to get resolutions to their issues.
Well, that must be certainly why your practice volume grows so much, is that, you know, you're identifying all these needs, and then they start to think of you as a provider that can give other services than just their pap smear, like you're talking about.
Absolutely. I know we have discussed even expanding Women's Excellence into another avenue, perhaps into the aesthetic portion. And is that something that you wanted to leave the discussion on, Dr. Zaden?
No, not at all. I think that's your real passion.
Yeah.
But I really am interested in, you know, aesthetics only in that I believe that, you know, the absence of disease does not necessarily connotate wellness. I mean, I believe that a lot of people really focus on the day-to-day, everyday grind. Mm-hmm. But I think that they do that so much better if they're confident. And I
Absolutely.
Believe that, you know, we had to add and will add over 2020 some sort of aesthetic program that will allow them to be more confident. And I, you know, and mm-hmm. that should encompass skincare and, you know, anti-aging techniques and things like that. I don't look to have people, be 21 again who are 45. I actually probably don't even condone that, because typically it requires such alteration that it doesn't look normal. But I think that if you're 40 or 35 and you want to look healthy in 35, and there's small little things that could help you do that, I think that Women's Excellence should be a part of making that easy. And I think, and I think that's why, I originally had reached out to people to determine what their mindsets were with aesthetics. And I know that you're very interested in it. And in the fact that, you know, you are thinking about doing this on a mobile fashion where you're actually bringing this to the patient, I think is amazing, because it's exactly what I talked about in our first segment here. And it's all about people don't have time. Right. And I think that's what you're looking to do. But tell me this, how are you going to do aesthetic services at home?
So after identifying patient needs, you know, yes, the average woman's very busy, but she wants to feel confident. She wants to feel the best version of herself. Okay. Mobile services, we come to the home. I come to the home. You get the same provider that you would get in office. You get a certified provider. Botox and filler are essentially the first two non-invasive, non-surgical procedures that we can do in the home. I believe there is a demand here. And the fact that the patient knows that they can come to one center, the provider that they see, that they trust to take care of their annual and their maybe urinary incontinence, is the same provider that took time and effort to get certified, get trained, have the most up-to-date knowledge on aesthetics, can then come to them if needed.
I think this is absolutely amazing. I think we're going to have a great success with it, because I think it's really going to boost the confidence of women. I think that, mm-hmm. you know, in the future, as we develop the program, we probably should outline it, you know, to patients and bring it out, you know, on our website and so on and so forth. But I really thank you for really helping women you know, get to that next level with their confidence. Because I really believe that that is everything. I know I feel better even when I've had a haircut, right? And so I think it's super important that we're addressing the whole, you know, needs of a woman and the comprehensive nature of how they feel. And I think it's going to be a great success for you, and I'm glad you're doing it. So thank you for being on the show.
Susanna Marcoux.
It is my pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us today. Susanna Marcoux is the nurse practitioner specializing in women's health at Women's Excellence.
Can't thank you enough, Susie, and keep doing what you're doing.
Stay with
thank
us.
You.
Stay with us. The Healthy Woman Show continues here on WJR. As we talk about managing our time to become healthier in 2020, one of the ways that we can do that, according to Women's Excellence, is through something called specialty virtual care visits. Jessica Rousset joins us. She's the patient coordinator at Women's Excellence. Hi, Jessica.
Hello. Great being here.
I know you're the expert in this area.
Yeah, we've been working really diligently on this program to help women save time, like you were saying. And the premise of it is virtual care. You know, you can get on your phone, your laptop, your computer. You can get on a video visit with one of our providers and manage your health care.
Do I have to set this up ahead of time?
Yeah, but I will say we've been doing a lot of same-day appointments, too, with a couple of our nurse practitioners. You know, they'll send a message and say, hey, I got a patient that needs to be seen tonight. And we work and get them in the system. They'll be sent a confirmation email with all the instructions they need.
And when you're talking about instructions, how easy is this? Do I have to get onto my desktop? Can I use my iPad? Do I have to use my phone? How does this work?
Well, the thing is we talked about this, I think, at one of our late shows last year. And since that time, we've done a lot to make it more convenient. Jessica, you actually run, you know, making sure that interface works. How does it work? Tell the patients, how does it work?
It's funny because maybe 6-7 months ago, there were a few steps the patient had to do. They would get the email, they'd have to click their link, then they'd have to log in to get to the virtual waiting room. And we told the programs that can't happen. We have to make it even simpler. So when you get set up for your appointment, you get a text message and an email. You can use a computer or your phone, and you simply just click your link and you are in our virtual waiting room. On the provider side, they'll see you there and they will accept your visit and start it up. So it's the matter of a click of one button, really.
You know, and again, time and efficiency. We talked about it in the opening of this show, and we'll talk about it again. It, you know, we looked at this from a perspective of we could do it the way we were doing it, but we had to make it easier. So we went back to the software engineers, and we said, let's reinvent this wheel. We got to make this simple, because if we don't make it simple, people won't use it, and they don't have the time to sit around for 15 or 20 minutes. That's why they're doing the virtual care visit in the first place.
Now, how what can you use this for? Because I have to imagine that you can't use it for every kind of visit. So what can you use it for?
Well, you certainly can't, you know, if somebody needs a physical exam, you certainly can't use a virtual care visit. So if you have something that, you know, we need to, you know, touch, palpate, you know, there needs to be some sort of, you know, patient contact, you can't use a virtual care visit. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, although I'm used to it and change is tough, most of our visits don't really need to be done that way. And I think that throughout the year of 2020, we'll develop technology or patterns and process with the technology that we already have to take a small picture. HIPAA compliant, this is what I have. What do you think? And we can start a process of working somebody up before we ever do that. And certainly, I'm very excited because we have so many health monitors. Everybody's aware of that. Everybody's heard of Fitbit. Everybody's had an Apple Watch or knows somebody who's had an Apple Watch that can take their heart rate and so on and so forth. And there's a lot of new products that are going to be very, very easily integrated with your phone that will allow us to get data from you, you know, that we would normally get in the office. So I think that these visits are going to be open to a lot more people in the future than we will be now, but now it's mostly consultation visits. One of the exciting things that I think specialty virtual care does is it not only makes people have more convenience in getting their health care in an urban setting, but what about a rural setting?
Absolutely.
Right?
You can't get to the doc.
For sure. I'm working with, you know, hospitals up in the Bad Axe, which is up in the Thumb, in mm-hmm. Bay City near Saginaw, and even north of that, to start to bring specialty gynecologic care to places that are close to their home. And the reason that we're doing that is because we have the ability to provide specialty virtual care. So we'll be able to see them or have a tertiary provider see them and be our hands, be our provider, right? But I can actually consult with them, or one of our other docs can consult with these people so that they, you know, they get the expert opinion from a physician. They maybe are examined by a different physician that's there. And then at a preoperative visit, if they need some surgical intervention, which I believe a lot of these patients, they're looking for that type of care because there may be routine care in these rural areas, but there's not specialty care. And that's part of the reason that we named it specialty virtual care. So I see this as really a game changer for healthcare for women, not only in the urban areas, but probably even more important in the rural areas.
Just bringing more care to more people. I wonder, though, do you ever get patients who say, okay, that's great, but you know what? That is not for me. I want to look the doc or the physician's assistant eyeball to eyeball. I'm not interested.
We do, but I would urge them to try it, because when you try it, you'll be hooked. Kind of like our live chat. Few people were skeptical, like, no, I want to talk to someone on the phone. And then they try the live chat once, and they're hooked, and it's the only way they communicate with us. And, you know, we're talking about the type of visits that we see, and right now, you know, you go to the doctor, and then you go home, and you think that's it. But a lot happens with that. You think of more questions, or you have questions about medication or an upcoming surgery. And just a couple days ago, we had a patient who was in our office, but then she went back to college and she lives in Chicago, and she, you know, had questions about her birth control medication. We set up a specialty virtual care visit. She spoke with our nurse practitioner, and we were able to help her.
And I think the upside to that is here is a person who needs this medication and was able to get a question answered rather than using the medication incorrectly, not using it at all, or getting into some kind of other problem because they're not doing what the doctor ordered. Maybe there was some confusion.
For sure. And it really works into, you know, pre-surgical. I mean, when people have questions, the questions that people have, you know, for a preoperative to a surgery are not, you know, simple questions. So, you know, people are like, you know, can you answer this question for me? They're asking the scheduler. They're asking, you know, our patient information liaison who's answering the phone. They're not the surgeon, right? So they can't answer those questions. Whereas, you know, to put somebody into a patient slot, that may be very, very difficult, but you can still see eyeball to eyeball via specialty virtual care, since it's a video platform, right? We can still look at each other. We still see our same tone. We hear our same tone. We see our same facial expressions, see our same inflections. But we're doing it maybe when they're at work and we're at work, which is amazing. We can't do that all the time. Sometimes it's just that physical barrier.
And also, if a physician or a physician's assistant sees something they don't like in the virtual visit, I don't mean to say they don't like, but they may have some concern about, they can always say, you know what, why don't you come on in this afternoon or come on in tomorrow morning, right?
Completely.
I mean, there's always that option, correct?
Yeah, but it's great to start with virtual care and get those questions on the table when it's easy and convenient for the patient. And most of the time, it probably would lead to some sort of in-office follow-up, but at least you didn't waste any time, use any PTO, and you're able to get, you know, kind of a path going of what you're trying to accomplish.
And now more insurances, of course, have teledoc options, right?
Absolutely. We kind of refrain from the term teledoc.
Oh, you don't want to use that term.
No,
okay. Tell us what term should we use?
And the reason that we're not you know, coining that term is that we realize that the teledoc is really a standard general kind of question physician for a cold or something simple. And usually that does require a follow-up. Specialty virtual care, we provide the entire solution for a patient. So if they have to come into one of our offices that, you know, we have 7-8 locations that they could come to, right, to see us for an exam. But we have their whole chart. In many cases, teledoc, it's somebody that's just taking a very brief history, determining a very simple problem, providing you a solution, and then recommending a follow-up anyway, even if they've provided the solution. That's not what we're doing with specialty virtual care. If we replace a visit with specialty virtual care, in many cases, we've replaced your need to come to the office. And if you need to come to the office, you've come once, but we've already examined you. So we have that knowledge because we examined you 3 months ago when we did your annual care. That's why it's going to be so important as we move forward, like we talked about earlier, to provide provide annual care. Because once we have a good history on you that's comprehensive and a good physical exam at one time that was comprehensive, then these other things may allow just for a small brief encounter in person after the fact. But most of the actual data exchange is your additional history, the new problem that you have, and how do we combat it. And we can do some stuff that's even better to save you time, in that we can email you a lab slip. Like I did that the other day for someone who was out of the state. We emailed her the lab slip. She went to Quest Diagnostics in another state and got labs, and they are interfaced into our system.
And you can take a look at
and
them.
And we saw her just like we would have seen her in the office. The barrier in the past was we couldn't do those things. Now we can.
And I think it's interesting, a year from now, what kind of conversation will we have on this very topic? Just like you said, our watches now can do so many things. Our phones can do so many things. The doctors may be able to do so much more for us. And again, many of these patients who don't have access, easy access to care in rural areas or in other areas, will have it at their fingertips.
We're going to change with specialty virtual care at Women's Excellence. We are going to change how people are cared for outside of the urban setting. I've known this to be a problem for a long time, ever since I did some initial training at the Mayo Clinic and I saw people flying in from all over the country. Many of those people were flying in because they had gone once or twice to a more urban setting and they couldn't solve their problem. And they decided that instead of going back and forth 2.5 hours, they were actually going to fly into the Mayo Clinic and get completely solved all at one time. I see specialty virtual care as an avenue that we can open up for people where we provide most of that care for them via computer, phone. And my recommendation when we do these specialty care visits now for patients is that they do them on their mobile phone. It's interesting because we all get frustrated with technology, right? We all get frustrated with how our computers work and how the cameras work on our computers and all those things. But the truth of the matter is, we have this amazing piece of technology that I have in my hand right now.
Yep.
And I'm simulating how I'm holding that, and it's looking at me, and it's recording my voice, and it's showing me, you know, a picture, and I'm able to see a picture on the other side of the other provider, and I can hear them. So it has a speaker. It has everything you need. So you really don't need a computer. You really don't need a laptop. You really don't need a phone. You don't really need all those other devices, you know, the specialty devices. You just need your phone.
Just need your phone. Yeah. When we come back on the Healthy Woman Show, we'll be talking about some new service highlights at Women's Excellence. Stay with us. Dr. Zaden, we've been talking today with Susie Marcoux about aesthetics. I was surprised to learn how you're going to be branching out into that area. But like you said, you feel better when you have a haircut.
Well, the thing is that everybody feels better probably,
right?
With a haircut.
When you just spend a little time on yourself.
But, you know, we're looking, you know, Women's Excellence has gotten, you know, the standard routine gynecologic care and the specialty care down. We have great process for that. But what we're not doing, what we're missing, and what we identified by, you know, surveys of our patients and by talking with our patients, is they want more. They trust us for the gynecologic stuff, but they want more than just the gynecologic stuff. And we're not plastic surgeons. We, you know, people ask me all the time for tummy tucks and all those things.
Oh, while you're working there?
Right. You know, they always, you know, I'm doing their surgery, can you do my tummy tuck?
While you're there.
And many people, you know, I mean, I can't tell you how many times, you know, people will ask me for, you know, breast augmentation. Can you do that? Well, they trust me. I've done other major surgery on them, so they trust me for that. That's not what we're about.
Right.
What we're really about, and I expect over the next 6 months that we'll bring this out. I hadn't really planned on talking about this in detail, but I think it is important because of the way we talked on this show, right? It's really about what we want to do is we want to enhance your beauty, enhance your confidence, and enhance your self-esteem. That's what our real goals are. And so we've coined the term Women's Excellence Enhance. And we plan on having a multifaceted approach to taking care of problems for people that aren't just the standard, but really need like specialty care, right? And also all the things that are going to help them with their esteem and confidence. So aesthetics will be part of that. Some of the programs that Susie will be doing, we'll be doing that not only on location, but also mobily. We will have a very, very robust weight loss and wellness type program. We will have a very comprehensive sexual program. And, you know, it's difficult to talk about that and to say that on the radio. You know, you wonder if you're going to get backlash. But the truth of the matter is there's a lot of issues in that department, especially with anatomic issues, both congenital and after having a baby and so on and so forth, that may cause pain and discomfort. Then there's desire issues, probably based on a combination of time, like we talked about earlier, and hormonal changes, right? And then there's also just routine, you know, blood supply issues and muscle issues that we can address. So we will be addressing all of those issues. And then we're even going to break that out a little bit further to become a little bit more focused on migraine headaches. Women have migraine headaches. A lot of them are hormonal in nature, but not all of them. We need to be experts at dealing with those because we find that people aren't getting the care they need. So we're going to enhance your life by taking care of these types of problems that are a little bit more unique to women. So it's a definitely a different approach. I don't expect this to be open for business for the next 3 to 6 months, but it's well in the planning stages because that's what women are asking us for.
And it's a more holistic approach, really, to the patient, to the person who's coming to you. You mentioned headaches, and I thought to myself, I never thought to ask my gynecologist about my headaches.
You know, what happens when you develop that patient-doctor, patient-provider trust is that people start to mention these things. Mm-hmm. And what I found is they're not getting what they need other places. And it would be easy for me to just to try to develop a network, but to get a network of providers to handle the problem is one thing, but the providers trust us. So I think that we need to be better at treating those things. And that's not something that, you know, the routine OBGYN physician has focused on because we're busy in a lot of different avenues. But Women's Excellence developed and continues to develop in that pattern. It's part of our vision. We have midwives that do midwifery and are experts at delivering babies with physician support. We have expert gynecologists that do surgery and they're excellent at doing that. We have comprehensive testing, and now we're going to have the ability to enhance your beauty, enhance your self-confidence, and enhance your self-esteem. That's what we're about, and that's what we want to do in 2020. It's just a part of a big efficiency visit program at Women's Excellence to make our practice better so that patients get better.
And all the information you may have or may want to have is at womensexcellence.com. Happy New Year, Dr. Zaden. We'll see you again next month.
Thank you so much. Happy New Year to you and all of our listeners.
The Healthy Woman Show has been presented by Women's Excellence.